Our first scripture lesson today is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15, verses 29 through 38. Listen now for God's word to you in the reading of this scripture. After Jesus had left that place, he passed along the Sea of Galilee, and he went up the mountain where he sat down. Great crowds came to him, bringing with them the lame, the maimed, the blind, the mute, and many others. They put them at his feet, and he cured them, so that the crowd was amazed when they saw the mute speaking, the maimed whole, the lame walking, and the blind seeing. And they praised the God of Israel. Then Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion for the crowd because they have been with me now for 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I do not want to send them away hungry, for they might faint on the way. The disciples said to him, Where are we to get enough bread in the desert to feed so great a crowd? Jesus asked them, How many loaves have you? They said, 7 and a few small fish. Then ordering the crowd to sit down on the ground, he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and after giving thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all of them ate and were filled, and they took up the broken pieces left over, 7 baskets full. Those who had eaten were 4,000 men, besides women and children. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God.
You know, I mentioned last week that whenever you pick up your bulletin and see one of the scripture passages as selected verses, that usually means that the pastor didn't know what the verses were going to be when the bulletin was printed. And that is, again, the case this week. I'm finding that this series that I have undertaken to address the Torah, the Pentateuch, the first 5 books of our Old Testament, in 5 Sundays, is the difficult part about it is it's easy to tell kind of the whole story, give a sweep of the story, but the difficult part is how to pick out some representative verses from that story to introduce us to it. So I hope that these verses that we will hear this morning will sort of get us into the story of Exodus. I'll be reading from the first chapter, then again from the 15th chapter, and then from the 16th chapter of Genesis. These are the names of the sons of Israel who came to Egypt with Jacob, each with his own household: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin, Dan and Naphtali, Gad and Asher. The total number of people born to Jacob was 70, and Joseph was already in Egypt. And then Joseph died, and all his brothers and that whole generation. But the Israelites were fruitful and prolific. They multiplied and grew exceedingly strong, so that the land was filled with them. Now a new king arose over Egypt, who did not know Joseph. And he said to his people, Look, the Israelite people are more numerous and more powerful than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, or they will increase. And in the event of war, join our enemies and fight against us and escape from the land. When the horses of Pharaoh with his chariots and his chariot drivers went into the sea, the Lord brought back the waters of the sea upon them, but the Israelites walked through the sea on dry ground. And then the prophet Miriam, Aaron's sister, took a tambourine in her hand, and all the women went out after her with tambourines and with dancing, and Miriam sang to them, Sing to the Lord, for the Lord has triumphed gloriously. Horse and rider the Lord has thrown into the sea. The whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I'm going to rain bread from heaven for you. And each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day. In that way I will test them, whether they will follow my instruction or not. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, and for the word within us, thanks be to God." As I already alluded to in my introduction to the scripture reading, we're covering the first five books of our Old Testament. We know them as the Pentateuch. They're also known as the Torah. And they are foundational in faith development. So we're taking a look at these, each one of these books, over five Sundays to just get a broad sweep about what these books are about and what they have to tell us. Last week we did Genesis. And the story of Genesis ends with the family of Jacob, which is now called the people of Israel. It ends with them safely under the benevolent care of their maligned brother Joseph, who has become the ruler of Egypt. And the people of Israel are right where God has led them. They appear to be safe and sound in the land of Egypt. They are growing. They're multiplying. The generations of Jacob's sons have died. Joseph has died. But the people continue to multiply and become a great people, the people of Israel in the land of Egypt. And the literary sweep of Exodus is a truly amazing story. It is comprised of some of the most famous stories in the Bible. Just to name a few: baby Moses in the basket on the Nile, Moses at the burning bush, the plagues on Egypt, the parting of the Red Sea, manna in the wilderness, the Ten Commandments, the golden calf, the building of the tabernacle. And those are just our favorites. There are a few darker stories in there that we don't talk about very much, but it's filled with all of these stories. Just like the book of Genesis we talked about last week, these stories cover the gamut of the human experience, but focus on particular aspects of it. Now, the historicity of this story is really unverified and rather questionable. There are no historical records beyond our scriptures that this actually took place, which is the case with much of our Bible. However, its centrality to the Jewish and subsequently Christian faith is absolutely unquestionable. This story is central to our faith. Some say its message of liberation is the primal story of the Bible, and that all other stories emanate from it. Some say perhaps it is the one story of humanity. It's a meta-narrative of human tension between our striving for freedom and our propensity towards slavery and oppression. A meta-narrative that encompasses the human experience. Now, even though Genesis is the beginning of our canonical scriptures that we call the Bible, the beginning of the story is Exodus. Without this story, there would be no others as we know them. And this story even begins in the middle, as most stories do. The primal story of the Bible is one of the oldest couplets in Hebrew scripture. And it is called the Song of Miriam. And we heard it sung, we heard it read just a moment ago. Sing to the Lord, for the Lord has triumphed gloriously. Horse and rider the Lord has thrown into the sea. This is believed to be one of the oldest couplets known in our scriptures. Some believe that this couplet is actually a song of an eyewitness of whatever it was that took place that spawned this story. If you want to know a people's real story, listen to the women. The women will tell you the stories behind the stories. And in Exodus, it's stories like midwives who subverted Pharaoh, a sister who followed a basket, a royal daughter who adopted a baby, and a mother who secretly nursed her own son. And freedom singers on the shores of liberation. If you want to know about a people and their story, we must listen to the stories of women. It's usually because the men tell the story. And then the women come back with, but you know, that's not exactly how it happened. We've all been there, haven't we? We even see that right here in this story of Exodus, in this song of Miriam. If you'll notice, there's a big song that has about, I don't know how many verses in it, maybe 15, 20 verses, right before this song called the Song of Moses. And it starts off with the same couplet, but then it goes into this very elaborate thing about domination and ruling and conquering and all these things. And then comes in and it says, but the Song of Miriam says, and it's the simple couplet. We need to listen to the voices, to the songs, to the lives of women in cultures throughout history and throughout the world today. Exodus is a story of forgetting and remembering. The song of Miriam stirs freedom, and we begin remembering what has been forgotten. That's why I say this story is central to the Bible. Because after this story, all the stories before it are told through it. It is the lens with which we see everything. And it gets retold so that it leads up to this story. And every story that comes after it refers back to it. Our scriptures continually refer back to the Exodus. Even the story of Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection is another version of the story of Exodus. And so, we remember what has been forgotten. We remember that slavery of a free people begins with imperial amnesia. The story opens in Exodus with a new king arose over Egypt who did not know Joseph. And when a people and its leaders forget the distant past, and history tells us we always do, the seeds for oppression are sown. We are not immune from this story. Remembering and forgetting are central to the biblical story, and central to the Christian story, central to the human story. Remembering our divinely infused humanity brings life. Forgetting who we are brings death. Remember. Remember we are created in God's image. Remember the flight from Egypt. Remember the exiles in Assyria and Babylon. Remember the Roman occupation and oppression. Remember the Passover. Remember your baptism. Remember the life and teachings of Jesus. Remember the resurrection of Jesus. Do this in remembrance of me. Remember, remember, remember the values of human dignity, kindness, justice, forgiveness, love, mercy, compassion. But unfortunately, it oftentimes takes slavery, wilderness, exile, and even crucifixion to stir our memory. In our story of Exodus, nearly as soon as the people are freed from a forgetful Pharaoh, they themselves forget and begin grumbling for the good old days. The good old days of flesh pots and bread. And we all know the good old days are never as good as we think. Do we really ever want to go back to the good old days? They seem to forget the slavery part. They seem to forget that back in Egypt, they were slaves. Forced labor, building cities, producing more bricks with less straw. They were cogs in imperial production. They seem to forget this. Which brings us into another insight, is that slavery can offer just enough comfort and security to allow oppression to become normal and even comfortable. We can have just enough comfort and security to tolerate oppression. And oftentimes it takes living in the wilderness to learn dependence and interdependence with creation, with God, and with one another. And in this Exodus story, this comes in the form of obedience. The end of the scripture selection I just read from the 16th chapter says, God says to Moses, I'm going to do this little thing with manna. Oh, I know they need to eat. I know they need to eat, but I'm really doing this because I want to see if they can follow instructions. Because what is coming are a whole lot of instructions, starting with the Ten Commandments. And from the Ten Commandments evolve the laws. And they begin to find freedom in new structure, a structure that requires cooperation, built on obedience and trust and respect for human dignity. And they discover that it's not easy. Because even after delivery from slavery, even after getting water from rocks, even after having bread from heaven and given laws to live by, the people still forget. And resort to idol worship. It doesn't take much to revert. And we need to be continually reminded of the source of life, the source of creative order, and the source of interdependence with God, with creation, and with one another. We need a place. We need a community in which to remember who we are in God. And so in this story, that place becomes the tabernacle. They build a tabernacle, a tent, a place of worship, a place of gathering, so that they can remember, so that they can be reminded. And this is where the book of Exodus comes to a close, with a people not yet formed, but forming. In the wilderness, they now have freedom, but it may not be the freedom they imagined. It is a freedom grounded in obedience and trust in God, and in memory of God's presence with them. They have moved from slavery to freedom to obedience. And sometimes the obedience takes far more commitment and courage and stamina and perseverance. Because as slaves, we're just told what to do. We don't have to think. We don't have to plan. We don't have to live. We just have to follow the rules. But one thing slaves do is they dream. They dream of freedom. And this story of Exodus is the story of freedom, real freedom. Not imagined freedom within the confines of an empire that provides just enough to make you think you are free. But true freedom, knowing that you are in the presence of God and following that presence. Amen. I hope our charge is not very rambling, because I have a couple of thoughts running through my head that I'm going to try to tie together here. The first is the beautiful anthem that we heard, "Give Me Jesus." I suspect that that anthem has its roots in a spiritual. When I wake up in the morning, give me Jesus. Now, the arrangement we heard was absolutely gorgeous and beautiful. But that's not the way African American spirituals are sung. Nor is it the context from which they come. When a slave sings, "When I wake up in the morning, give me Jesus, because I want to be in another world," it has a lot more meaning. When a slave sings, "Way down in Egypt's land," they're not just singing about something that happened a long time ago. And we need to remember who we are. We need to remember that freedom is fickle. We need to remember that the story of the Exodus is still the human story. We need to remember that we live in a time of forgetting and remembering. And all it takes is for imperial amnesia to come together with complacent slavery. We live in a time of women's songs of freedom. We live in a time when all of humanity needs to remember who we are, lest we find ourselves in wilderness once again. Amen.